Oilers. We're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio.
Oh my God.
Matt Weston. This afternoon, I'm joined by my good friend Taylor to talk about my own personal favorite division of football, your least favorite division of football. I think like 90% of football fans absolutely hate this division, but the one and only AFC South, because as William Faulkner once said, to understand the NFL, you first have to understand the AFC South. So here we are talking about the Texans, the Colts, the Jaguars, and the
Titans.
You're
even starting to forget their names because you don't even like this division either, you liar.
No, I'm just trying to go in alphabetical order, you know. I'm like, does the I go before the J?
I before C, except after E.
It's hard stuff. It's hard stuff. But yeah, I'm very excited for this because we had to talk about a lot of really fun, you know, football teams like the Texans, the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Titans. So we're gonna stop here at the Houston Texans. And the Texans, if you forgot, last year Bill O'Brien was fired after an 0-4 start. After the 0-4 start, they finally threw the ball downfield some and completely pants the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then they proceeded to win four games after that, losing a lot of close games by things like Nick Martin skidding a snap, or Kiki Cutie fumbling into the end zone, or A.J. Brown going over two Texans defensive backs to set a game-winning field goal. It was a lot of chicanery like that for the Texans to, you know, lose close games and end up going 4-12. And so there's this prevailing idea that, well, you know, Watson's a top-five quarterback, you know, at least not to worry about that. You know, it could be a quick rebuild as long as he's here and with a new great head coach, a new general manager, somebody who's even like somewhat competent, somebody runs an offense that gets the most out of Deshaun Watson. The Texans could be a playoff team immediately in the span of a season from 4-12 to 11 and I guess 6 now is whatever you call it. That didn't happen. Instead, Deshaun Watson asked for a trade. They hired Nick Caserio to be the general manager. They hired David Cole to be the head coach. Deshaun Watson was accused of sexual assault by 22 women. Now there's some like, yeah, it happens sometimes. Now there's some like something coming out that the human trafficking people are looking at it. Maybe the FBI as well too, because he flew women into Houston, which I don't understand very much. And the Texans signed a lot of free agents, had 2 third-round picks, went from, you know, Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins to Nico Collins and Davis Mills. Do you want to hear the list of the players the Texans signed this offseason? Are you ready for this?
Before you get to the list, did you even introduce me?
Yeah, I said my good friend Taylor.
You know what? I need more of an introduction. You just like jumped into this, man. I just feel like you're so edgy because you're having to talk about this team. Like you were just wanting to go bam. There was not even an intro for me to be able to say how.
No kissing.
You want me to talk about this division? I feel like you were just going to be doing your whole thing. So first things first. One, I don't want to talk about this division. Two, I feel honored. And three, go over your list.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, I you had to skip the foreplay of the AFC South. There's no petting at all. No, the tongue stays in your mouth.
Foreplay.
Nothing at all. It's just a hole. It's a hole in a sheet. That's all it is. So this is who they signed. Linebacker Tay Davis. Tight end Ryan Izzo, cornerback Desmond King, offensive lineman Cole Toner, who's a backup center right now, Cameron Johnson at punter, Ryan Finley, they traded for. He played zero snaps, even in the preseason. They cut him after giving up, I believe, a 6th-round pick for him, quarterback. Dante Moncrief, wide receiver, he's already been cut. Justin McCray, offensive lineman. Joe Thomas, linebacker from your Dallas Cowboys. Andre Roberts, wide receiver. Terrence Brooks, safety. Chris Moore, wide receiver. Alex Erickson, wide receiver. Kamu Gregor-Hill, linebacker. Kevin Pierre-Lewis, linebacker. Terrence Mitchell, cornerback. Mark Ingram, running back. Malik Collins, defensive tackle. Marcus Cannon, who they traded for, offensive lineman, Shaq Lawson, edge defender, Philip Lindsay, running back, Tyrod Taylor, quarterback, Derek Rivers, defensive end, Christian Kirksey, linebacker, Hardy Nickerson Jr., linebacker, Tremont Smith, quarterback, Justin Britt, center, Tavier Thomas, cornerback, Jordan Steckler, offensive lineman, Paul Questenberry, fullback, Vincent Taylor, defensive tackle, Jordan Jenkins, outside linebacker, Chris Conley, wide receiver, Jaleel Johnson, defensive tackle, Lane Taylor, offensive lineman, DeMarcus Walker, defensive end, Neville Hewitt, linebacker, Jeff Driscoll, quarterback, and finally, Taywan Taylor, a wide receiver. Pretty good list. That's a pretty good team right there, right?
Did you just, like, create one of your teams in Madden here? Did you do one of your things where you're just, like, picking up guys each and every single year, and this was your year where you're just loading up? Because aren't all of these guys on one-year contracts?
Yeah, nobody was signed to a contract greater than, like, $4 million. I think Tyrod Taylor made 10 or something like that. Or something a little bit less because he's a starting quarterback, but everybody else, nobody made more than like $4.25 million. It really is an expansion draft, though.
Well, yeah.
This is an expansion team. It's worse than expansion team, but it pretty much that's what it is.
My whole thing is, I don't know what you're doing at running back. And that's what I just like love looking at because you just have now Burkhead, too. So you have Lindsey, Ingram, Johnson, Burkhead. What are you, the New England Patriots right now? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, and they're also, three of them are 30 years old. David Johnson's 30. Burkhead's 30. Ingram's 33. I think Burkhead's 31. Philip Lindsay's the young guy at 27 or whatever. And Philip Lindsay was terrible last year.
Yeah.
Really bad. Ingram was really bad. David Johnson, really bad. Rex Burkhead, old and hurt. He was bad, too. And kind of the funny thing about it so far this preseason, David Johnson had one carry on 3rd and 1, lost 2 yards, was immediately devoured. But Scotty Phillips has been getting the majority of the carries in that Packers game. He was pretty good. He's a former undrafted free agent. He makes like $400,000 a year. He probably collects food stamps because of his contract that he has. And he's better than David Johnson is. He's better than Burkhead is. And they gave David Johnson $4.25 million to stay here. They gave Ingram a couple million dollars. They have like $13 million devoted to the running back position. And it's like, why? Just find an undrafted free agent. Draft somebody in the 4th round. Who cares? You don't need to pay running backs. And that's what they have done here, despite the fact their run blocking is really bad. It's kind of a bigger issue than who's playing running back, actually.
So haven't we talked about – all right, so let me ask you this because you and I kind of criticized Indianapolis Colts last year. When it comes to the team like the Texans, where you're not playing for anything really, isn't it best to just not spend money at all? Are you allowed to like carry the money over or something like that?
Yeah, you can, but this is the kicker though. Are you ready?
Yeah.
They restructured bad contracts. So rather than pay the money this year for these bad contracts, they restructured them to create more money for this year, which will give them a lower salary cap next season. So they restructured Whitney Mercilus. They restructured Laremy Tunsil. I believe they restructured Lawson as well, too, and Zach Cunningham. And by doing so, they increased salary cap this year so they could sign, did me read the whole list again, Tay Davis, Ryan Izzo, Desmond King, Cole Turner. That's why they did it. It made zero sense at all. Because like if you're rebuilding, the two most important things are draft capital is the most important thing, and then cap space. And then once you have a good draft class or two, find some cornerstone players to build around, then you use free agency to kind of go all in from that point. And I don't know what the idea is here. So, Taylor, do you think the Texans had a good offseason this year?
No, I think they had a terrible offseason this season. And it's because when it comes to what the Texans, like what we're just talking about, I don't know what the Texans were thinking. Why would you restructure any type of contract right now?
I don't understand either. I don't know.
Just try to get rid of everything right now. Why wouldn't you just try to truly start over and start rebuilding? You're not rebuilding here. You're just picking and choosing guys, and you're just plugging them on a team. You're going nowhere with this. It's not even bad if you're just a Texans fan because of the whole Deshaun thing. It's the Deshaun thing just seemed like it put the entire franchise on another pause where they didn't know what to do. And now you're stuck with – man, you're stuck with that whole list you gave me, and I think I know like 3 guys on that list that are maybe – okay at one point in their lives.
Yeah, but, and I completely agree. That's kind of the thing I didn't understand about it. It's like, there's a dichotomy here. Like, there's a bipolarness to it. It's like, well, if you have Watson, this is a bad offseason because you didn't improve the talent dramatically enough at all. If you don't have Watson, this is a bad offseason because you should just get young players. That's what your idea should be here. You should try to go after Cam Sims. You should try, like, Desmond King's a perfect sign like that. Like, go after young players or, like, your veterans on one-year contracts that are good. I'm not talking about, like, you know, Philip Lindsay here. Like, I think Desmond King is probably the best sign they made this offseason, because if he's good in 6 weeks, maybe you can get a six-round pick out of him. Or maybe he's good and you can sign him to a long-term extension. Or he's good and he leaves and then you get comp picks out of it, you know? And so, like, that's what I understand. There's a dichotomy between the two here, that if you're rebuilding, it's dumb. If you have Watson, it's dumb. And I think really what the idea here was to improve the overall culture of the team. And then the other problem that Nick Caserio has is, I don't even know who Jack Eastbury is, but he's the charlatan, you know, priest man who...
Sounds so familiar. Easterby?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. He's like, he like works with the GM. Like, he plays like scout team football. He runs like the team operations. He does all that sort of stuff. But also, he had Nick Caserio be hired. So he's like the one like right below the owner. So if Easterby doesn't like you, you can't be there. And so I think that's kind of the problem that Caserio had, maybe, that like he was kind of limited by some of his decisions because Eastbury's like, no, we can't get rid of Laramie. He's too important. We can't, you know, cut Winnie Merciless. He's too important. You know, that sort of thing. And that's the only thing I could think of at all that makes any sense, why, you know, they didn't do things like trade Laramie Tunsil or just cut Winnie Merciless and just eat it.
So to go off of what you just mentioned, the reason why I just want to interrupt here, do you think, and that's why they did get all these runs, it's the only thing I could think, because I'm still thinking about the running backs here. Do you think that maybe they are just hoping that there's just like certain individual guys that are going to start breaking out for the Texans and start showing some light, where then when other teams have those positions injured, they're then going to be offering draft picks for the Texans? Even if it's the later round stuff, they're still going to be giving picks to the Texans. And since those guys are on one-year deals, it's then no risk for those teams. That's the only time. But that would be kind of smart in certain ways, but that it just sounds stupid whenever I say it.
Yeah, I think it may even just be more about comp picks necessarily, because the NFL trade deadline doesn't really exist. Even last year, they had the chance to do that.
That's true.
The only player they traded was Eli Enku, and they traded him to Dallas. He played zero snaps for Houston. And Dallas is like, we like that guy. We want to sign him too. We'll give you a seven round pick. Like, sure, that's good. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the other part of it that I don't really get either. I think it's more like they wanted to change the culture of the team, because they talk about it all the time.
Culture.
We gotta get the culture right. The culture
there's
is the most
not even
important
new
thing.
Guys here. To your point, there's no young guys here to build a culture. There's not building anything.
I think that's what they say. They always talk about the culture, but they don't understand like, a winning team creates the culture. Like, they work hand in hand. You don't have a culture and your team's good. You have to have good football players, you know? They work hand in hand. So if Watson was going to play for the Houston Texans this year, which I think it's pretty obvious he's not going to play, the Texans still think he could possibly play for them. They can't trade him really until next year at all. And then based on what we learned from our conversation with Diane Moskowitz is that there really doesn't seem like a world where Watson will be suspended this year or even next year really at all, because of how the NFL's own investigation process works, unless like out of nowhere there's a video that is published of Watson, like, you know, grabbing somebody's hand or whatever, you know, and putting it somewhere else, but putting it in his own, you know, something.
His pocket. Yeah.
Yeah, his pocket. His back pocket. His muddy back pocket. But
so flirty.
With all that being said, like, if Watson was on the roster, do you think the Texans would be a good team this year?
I think they would win 4 to 5 games. I wouldn't see them winning 5 games.
Even with Watson.
Even with Watson, they're not winning more than 5 games.
And I think they could win 9 with him.
What?
Yeah.
What did you give him?
He's so good. And like, if you just go from if you go from 2-8 to 6-3 in one score games, there's 9 games.
What have we been talking about, man, with each of these division previews? The AFC is stacked. You're out of your freaking mind. It's just not going to happen.
They have an easy schedule this year.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not giving this to you. No, 5 games most.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Watson's just that good that I think you care. I think they could score like the wide receivers are bad, though. Yeah. That's kind of a problem.
Dude, this whoever plays against the Houston Texans is going to put up 40 points.
All right, can I interest you in Chris Conley starting outside wide receiver? Does that excite you? What gets your nipples hard?
Nothing gets my nipples hard on any of this.
How about Mark Ingram? What if he has 6 touchdowns this year? About that, do you like the way that sounds?
No, I don't like the way any of this sounds, all right, man. All right.
What if Justin Britt had a Pro Football Focus grade of 73? How about that? Are you feeling a little randy now?
Whoa, that's getting me going. I'm now moist.
All right, Shaq Lawson, 6.5 sacks.
Oh, you're getting all right. me now even more.
So the Texans had 2 interceptions last year. What if they have 8 this year?
That's not going to do anything for me, Matt. That's not going to do
interceptions.
Anything. No, and if anything, they're probably going to get 8 interceptions because teams are just going to want to Hail Mary at every single play just to keep putting points up. They'll put in their third string quarterbacks.
There's a lot of funny things like through like the training camp stuff where like, wow, look at this great play this guy made. It's like, yeah, that's against a 6th-round pick from 2 years ago who's really bad. That's what when he goes against a real football player, it won't be like that. Or they're like, the secondary looks awesome in training camp. They picked off Davis Mills for the 5th time today. It's like, yeah, because Davis Mills is probably pretty bad. He's going to be a career backup quarterback if that at all. You're just completely ruining your argument because of who the players that they're playing against, you know?
I don't understand this team at all. Okay, so Matt, is QT going to stay healthy?
As long as he doesn't fumble it every time, that's really what matters.
Is Cooks going to stay healthy?
I don't. Maybe. You know what's kind of funny about Cooks is that last year he's like, if they try to trade me, I'm holding out. I'm not being traded again. It's like, good job, Brandon. Good decision.
Brandon, you're such an ass.
He's like, also, you know, he's only like 28.
Yeah, no, that's why
he was drafted in 14. He was like 20 years old when he got drafted.
He should come to Dallas. That would be nice because we need another receiver to help us.
I think so. All right, so here's the Texans schedule. Let me know when you think the Texans fans are going to start wishing for Bill O'Brien to be back and they're going to start missing him. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Week 1, Jacksonville. Week 2, at Cleveland. Week 3, Carolina on Thursday Night Football. Week 4 at Buffalo, Week 5 New England, Week 6 at Indianapolis, Week 7 at Arizona, Week 8 Los Angeles Rams, Week 9 at Miami, the bye week, Week 11 at Tennessee, Week 12 the New York Jets, Week 13 Indianapolis, Week 14 Seattle, Week 15 at Jacksonville, Week 16 Los Angeles Chargers, Week 17 at San Francisco, and then Week 18 against Tennessee.
All right, you want my guess?
Yeah.
It's going to be none. You're never going to miss Bill. Dude, and it's because...
I'm telling there's fans... I'm personally not going to miss him at all, but I'm saying there's fans that are going to be like, we should never fire Bill O'Brien.
This team is Bill's fault.
That doesn't matter. He went 9-7 a few times.
Well, no, who cares?
I think after they lose the Jets in week 12... And they're like 2-9. I think that's when it's going to happen.
Nobody's going to miss Bill. You can't miss Bill.
It's going to happen. I'm telling you. I'll send the tweets your way whenever I see them.
Oh my God. I'm for sure going to have to make a Twitter account. Oh my God. I'm just going to like putting up pukey faces every time somebody says that. Oh my God. That makes me sick. Are you okay? Or I'll put a helmet on. Just put your helmet on. Feel better. Like what the hell?
There we go. So my favorite stat from last year though was this was what the future of the Houston Texans should have been. In empty backfields, the Texans had DVOA 51.2%. They averaged 8.6 yards per play. That was the future. It was Deshaun Watson empty backfield 5 wide receiver sets, just being a spread passer and like throwing the ball 40 times a game for 400 yards. They're gonna throw the ball 17 times a game. They're gonna keep 4 running backs on the roster because they're gonna run the ball 42 times a game. And they're going to lose 31-13 a lot over and over again.
Oh. This is so awful. You're going to hate it. And this is the only team you're going to watch.
I know. Exactly. I'm going to be writing film articles like Shaq Lawson still doesn't have a pass rush move that's above average.
Baby's crying. Houston's losing. I don't know how much longer I can go.
No. So is there a player on the Texans that you would draft in fantasy this year?
Okay. So I would probably draft... I don't think I would touch anybody. I'm not going to touch Akins. I'm not going to do anything. I wouldn't do it, Matt. I'm not touching anybody on this team.
I wouldn't either.
I was going to say, who would you touch on this team?
The only answer may be like Philip Lindsay, but even then, there's four of the running backs.
And
he can't catch the ball.
What's the earliest round a Texans player is drafted?
And maybe somebody may draft Brandon Cooks in the 9th round.
Okay. I was going to say 10. I was going to say Cooks in 10.
That sounds pretty intriguing.
Yeah.
Well, he gets 5 catches for 47 yards. Hey, that's 9 points.
Hey, man, that's a 10th rounder right there. I would take that all day. You're now thinking about it with a smile on your face.
It all adds up. Have you watched this Ted Lasso show before?
No.
Because we had one Twitter question from Uproot Texan, and he said, if the Texans hired Ted Lasso instead of David Coley, what would our record be this year? I don't know. I'm not watching that.
Hold on. Let me see.
It's that Jason Sudeikis show.
Oh, it is. So wait, I've actually seen like the first few episodes of it when it first ever premiered on this season one. So I do know what he's talking about. So you're asking now what their record would be with him as the coach?
Yes.
I don't know, man. I'm not going to say, because I haven't seen Coley do his thing yet.
I love David Coley. I love
that's
him.
That's what I mean. I think it's kind of, I want to be able to see his name before I make that comment. I would say, though, Ted Lasso, without Deshaun Watson, wins 4 games.
I would say, like, they seem like the same person, though, everything I've heard about Ted Lasso.
That's what I mean.
It just sounds like David Coley.
And that's why I want to watch David Coley, to be able to make, really, the comparison between the two. I haven't seen the guy in action. I need to be able to see.
I absolutely love the man. He had that quote last week talking about going for him 4th down. He's like, I don't care what the charts say. I don't care what the analytics says. I'm going based on my feel. I wasn't feeling it. We're kicking field goals. Say, God bless your heart. So I hate science. We're rejecting science. We're embracing tradition. And we're kicking field goals every time it's 4th and 2 on the 17-yard line. So that way we can lose 31-13 instead of 31-10.
Dude, Ted Lasso is ranked really high. We got to start watching.
I'm not watching that. I hate quirky.
You have to do the research. You have to be a true host.
I hate quirky. I hate quirky. I hate good feeling. I hate nice.
8.7 out of 10 on IMDb. That is the real freaking deal right there. Come on,
more
man.
More like IMPP, because that movie's piss. IMPP. That show's piss.
That's what we're doing now. IMPP.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I'm leaving now.
So here's my prediction. You ready?
Yes.
Watson is traded about February next year, and Davis Mills starts 10 games this year. Tyrod Taylor starts 7. Even though he's cursed, I think he'd be a little bit more. I think Taylor could probably start less than that. And when Davis Mills starts this year, he's going to be really bad. Like, really bad. And the Texans are going to try to draft a quarterback in the top 5 picks next year.
So I was actually going to say that my prediction was that David Mills was going to be starting at least 6 games. And he's going to go 3-3. Whoa!
That'd be hell.
You heard it here first. That's what's going
to happen. Well, here's the problem, though. Here's their last 6 games. You ready?
Yeah.
Indianapolis, Seattle, Jacksonville, the Chargers, the Niners, the Titans.
Yeah, Titans are going to be sitting at that point.
I'm going to that game.
Niners are going to be injured at that point.
You going to get a week 18 against the Titans?
Right there. Jags, who knows what they're going to be. I could have a third. Dude, I already got the automatic 2 wins on the last game. And dude, the Chargers could be injured too, even though we both don't want that to happen. But that's what they're known to be. I got my 3 wins.
All right, well, I'm running this down. I'm going to laugh at you whenever we talk again in February.
That's fine. I want you to do this, because if I'm right, oh my God, our 4 million listeners are going to explode.
6 million listeners, all right.
I always forget the 2 million. I forgot that we spread across the country now. I forget.
Well, we have a big audience in Afghanistan. They're very excited to have internet over there. So what's your the over under for the Texans is 4 wins. Are you taking the over or the under? And what's your prediction?
I'm gonna take. You know what? I'm gonna take the over still. Since I'm saying Mills is gonna win those 3 games, I'm gonna take the over at 5 wins. So they're gonna go 5-12.
That so they would be like the 28th or 27th best team then.
Yeah.
I'm going the under. I'm going 3-14.
Dude, losing 14 games is a lot of games.
Winning 3 games is a lot of games.
Yeah, but Mills is going to do that because, man, he has a cannon. You're shaking your head in disgust right now.
Like, I mean, the only game I could possibly see them being is the Jets. And I think Zach Wilson's just a lot better than Tyrod Taylor is already.
I don't know, man. I'm not going to believe that.
Okay.
Well, I need to see Zach Wilson play for the Jets first.
Hey, he looked pretty good in the preseason.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad preseason's the real deal now.
And he wears a cute little do-rag also.
He wears a do-rag?
Yeah. Oh, he really is like straight off a Nickelodeon set.
Did his mom get him that do-rag?
I don't know. I think he's a victim of NK Ultra.
His mom should wear a do-rag.
All right. So the next team, yeah, to my good friend Taylor, the MILF hunter.
Hey, don't.
If you see him at your local Costco parking lot, run away as fast as you can. Hide your wife as quickly as possible.
Hey, don't talk about my nickname in middle school.
Uh-huh. All right, so the next team we have here, the Indianapolis Colts. The last time we saw the Colts, they lost to Buffalo in the wild card round of the 2020 NFL playoffs, a game they only got to play in because they won a meaningless Week 18 game to get in the postseason thanks to their extra seed that they were given because the NFL's cowards now. And that in that game, Phillip Rivers had a chance for a game-winning touchdown drive to win it. He had a 13-play, 34-yard drive that ended it.
The 50-yard line and ran like 6 to 8 plays, and it was like,
and they got 2 yards.
You got them to this point, like you getting those 30 yards was so easy, and he just couldn't get by them. Once he saw that 50 yard, he goes, oh no.
Yeah, and then what the Colts did is they did what they always do. They don't spin. They added Isaac Rochelle, Sam Tevy, Eric Fisher, Antoine Woods, Julian Davenport, Chris Reed, and the big move they made was trading a conditional first or second round pick for Carson Wentz. It's a first round pick if he plays 75% of the snaps, he makes the playoffs. It's a second round pick if he plays 70% snaps or less. Since that occurred, though, Carson Wentz is missing time because of a foot injury, which is good. Quentin Nelson's missing time because of a foot injury, which is bad as well, too. Ryan Kelly's currently hurt as well. This looks bad already, and I was kind of like, I was thinking about the Colts. I was like, it's either between them or the Titans. And after thinking about it more and ruminating on it, I absolutely hate the Colts this year.
I'm not going to that, but the problem that I have is that Wentz is already hurt.
He's awful. I forgot how bad he was last year.
I'm not doing this. Yes, of course he was bad. He was going to break all the records that you could ever break for being bad, except Jalen Hurts would have broken all those records if he would have started every single game. So in the end, when it comes to Carson Wentz, I just don't like that the foot's already injured.
Also, like, he's been healthy throughout his entire career too, you know?
Yeah, and I just think that with him already coming with that, and I'm not feeling that injury at all, because at first they thought it was really serious. And then just like you said, with now the left guard out and now Ryan Kelly isn't their backup even questionable too?
I don't know their backup. Oh, their backup. I don't know who their backup guard is. I don't know.
I just thought that there was more than two that was injured on the offensive line, was my point. Because either way, I'm agree with you. I was actually big on the Colts heading into this. This was always kind of my positive, your negative. But I'm just feeling negative about him, man.
Yeah, and like, I was reading stories too about Wentz in Philadelphia, how he was going to the line of scrimmage and just calling different plays because he was mad Doug Peterson. Yeah, just complete child behavior. Just real, like, just real. Of course, like, there was probably problems all throughout the locker room, but, you know, just like everything else that was going on, the fact that he just sat out because he was so bad and didn't want to, you know, break any more records, like you mentioned. So last year, he was sacked 50 times. His completion percentage was 57.4%. He threw 15 interceptions. If you account for dropped interceptions, that total comes out to 21. He had DVOA negative 35.9%. He was sacked on 10% of his dropbacks. He also fumbled 10 times, too, which is my favorite stat. And he had DYAR of negative 780. The last two seasons, he's had 26 fumbles because he fumbled the ball 16 times in 2019. Now protecting his blind side is going to be either Will Holden, Sam Tevy, Julian Davenport, or Eric Fisher. He's probably going to fumble the ball 25 times if he starts 16 games this year. And like you mentioned, he's hurt already. He's been hurt before. All he did last year was just like try to throw the ball downfield into nobody at all whatsoever. His eyes closed by a bad offensive line. And I'm not liking this offensive line really very much right now too, just because of how bad the left tackle spot is. Like, Wentz is a player who has to have a really good right tackle because he's completely blind. Of course, to that side, like, he doesn't feel any pass rush coming from that direction either. And I think, like we've talked about before, you can mitigate offensive line play. You can get by without a great left tackle, but some quarterbacks require it, and Carson Wentz is one of those guys.
Well, completely agree. But also, at the same time, I mean, we saw last year, even though he was sacked 50 times, we saw last year with Philly where he would just hold the ball.
Yeah.
He's just holding the ball the entire time.
And he just round the pocket with four guys chasing him and throw the ball 47 yards downfield.
No, you mean throwing the ball 7 yards down the field to Zach Ertz, trying to just get to him every single time. When the team is triple teaming the tight end, Zach Ertz, you should probably throw it to somebody else. Just throw it to somebody else. Just look at another guy. He's probably standing wide open. But Carson Wentz was just so awful because a lot of it was self-inducing. Like, he was just doing it to himself when it came to those sacks. And I will say, though, let me ask you this, and not to be able to jump away from him a little bit, but do you think that Carson Wentz is going to be able to have a better year because maybe the pressure will be taken off? Because everybody keeps raving about Jonathan Taylor, that this is his year now.
Yeah, I mean, I think Taylor is awesome, but, like, I'm really just – the most important part of the football is throwing the football. And, like, again, I don't think their wide receivers are that good. I don't think he has a good deep threat wide receiver.
Well, like, Michael – That's great, right?
Yeah, but he's 30. He's 32.
That's old.
And Wentz was bad throwing the ball downfield last year anyways. It's like, it doesn't help him at all. Like, Michael Pittman's supposed to be, like, that vertical possession receiver. Well, he was good at doing lashes, running like slants and drags. Paris Campbell still hasn't happened. He got hurt, you know, after having seven targets in week one last year. Zach Pascal's a big slot receiver. I don't really like their skill position players at all either. Wentz's projection for this year, 63.7 completion percentage, 4,149 yards, 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 13 fumbles, 6.3 net yards a pass, and DVOA negative 7.1%. It's bad. That's a bad year. That's a good year for Carson Wentz, but it's a bad season.
Sounds like Jameis Winston numbers, right?
No, he's not even close to Jameis. There's not enough touchdowns here.
Oh, okay.
Because Jameis would throw 37 touchdowns.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, yeah. I got you. Uh-huh. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't talking about the same guy. Sorry.
Well, and also, like, Chris Ballard, too, you know, he did a great job, like, rebuilding his team around Luck really quickly, and now they're in quarterback purgatory since Luck's retirement. But, like, I don't even think Chris Ballard's that good either. He's pretty much has built this team around one really good draft class in 2018.
When he keeps hanging on to that class.
And that's where this, like, success has come from, because they traded down with the Jets. They got 3 second-round picks out of it, and they drafted Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard, and then they grabbed Smith, Turner, Lewis, and Hines. Great draft class. And like, by nailing those, like, cornerstone players, that's kind of what they build their success off of, along with their offensive line. And they've been able to have, like, a really zone-heavy defense that hasn't had to require a lot of investment into it. That's, like, usually, you know, pretty good. It's like a fringe top 10 unit. The only, like, real investment they made in their defense was training for DeForest Buckner and signing him to, which was a great decision, and it worked out well. But, like, I think he's overrated as a GM. I think he's too conservative. And now you're at kind of like a spot where they're completely stuck. I think it's hilarious, too, for the Colts to go from Peyton Manning to Curtis Painter for one season to Andrew Luck, and now the last 3 years were Jacoby Brissett, Philip Rivers, and now it's Carson Wentz. And I think next year they're going to be looking for another quarterback. And it's exactly what they deserve.
I'll put it to this way, though. I mean, this, you're exactly right. I don't really like to say that, but you're exactly right whenever you're talking about the GM here, where you just look at this team from top to bottom, and they just, we talked about this last year with them. They're not doing anything. They just kind of stand still, and they make it like one piece to add at a year at a time, but they're not truly making the big moves that beforehand they are, could have, and they decided not to. And then they just keep trying to rehash these quarterbacks, which with Carson Wentz, I still like it because of the coach. I think the familiarity is going to be able to work out well between them. It's just with him already being injured, I already now seeing that going south, where then I see them just trying to get a quarterback, whether that's by trade or whether that's just going to be this team doesn't make the playoffs and then they're going to draft one or try to move up in the draft. I think, though, the defense is going to be solid.
Oh, yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that.
I mean, I think they are going to be able to stop teams, which is a huge deal. It's just coming down to, I'll put it this way. If Jonathan Taylor is that special that everybody keeps saying he's going to be this year, then yeah, I actually think that this team is at least an 11-win team.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, do you think...
I'm talking about Saquon first year special.
Okay. Well, I mean, he was like, it took him like 6 weeks last year to be able to read his holes. And then once he started to do that, he really took off. I'm not disagreeing with like Taylor at all, but the injuries concern me on the offensive line.
I just think
Wentz is just going to be really bad. And it's hard to run the football when the box is loaded and they're playing press man coverage. I think it's really hard to do.
All right, I'll put it this way. Do you think they would be able to trade for a quarterback this year? Do you think they will if Wentz is out?
No.
You don't.
They'd start Eason or Ellinger.
Really?
I think they kind of like Eason, too, because they're like, he does everything he needs to do. He just hasn't played yet, you know?
I just feel like that their best... Really? They like Eason?
This is their quote. I mean, I'm quoting the team right now. They said the next thing he has to do is actually play. And so then they like him, you know?
There's no way they like him. This has got to be a lie.
So do you think that this team is a Carson Wentz away from being like a playoff team? Like a Super Bowl contending score team.
Yeah, I would say so. I would think that I still believe that if Carson Wentz is healthy with this type of offense and the coach, that they still have a shot to be that team. It's just, yeah, they are Carson Wentz away. Because this team could do damage in the playoffs where it's not like, oh my God, this is guaranteed Super Bowl bound. This team's going to kill it. I just think you wouldn't want to see them in the playoffs.
I would love to see them in the playoffs.
No, I'm even saying that with the Buffalo Bills last year, they put some pressure on
Buffalo. But that was a Philip Rivers, though. Like, I think Philip Rivers is a tremendously, even right now, he hasn't thrown a football in 3 months. I think he's much better than Carson Wentz is.
See, you're going that far. You hate Wentz. Wentz did something to you and your family. I'm not going
down. He's the least valuable player in football. And the other thing I didn't realize, too, that I was reading about during this Wentz thing was that MVP season he had before he tore his ACL. He was like completely on fire on third down the red zone, like an unsustainable level in those portions of the game. And he never got back to that level at all. And so he never threw the touchdowns at the same level. He never had the same efficiency that he had that year. And it was because it was completely unsustainable. And like the 1 year he's been healthy was that year when Jadeveon Clowney, you know, took out his head in the postseason. And he was like fine. Like he was like the 14th best quarterback that year. He was okay, I guess, you know?
Hey.
I don't like the left tackle position. The offensive line injuries scare me. I don't really like the wide receiver group. I think Jonathan Taylor can be very good, but I see this as like the 24th best offense this year.
All right. If Carson Wentz is healthy, then this is easily a top 13 offense this year.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I hope he's healthy. I really do. I want him to be healthy. I want to see how bad he's going to be.
No, with the foot, man, he's already going to be done. This team's done, in my opinion, when it comes to that. Unless Eason turns into that guy, which kind of would be funny, but there's no way in hell he's that guy.
You know what they should do, though?
What should they do?
Minshew.
No, because Minshew. It's the same thing on what they would have in the problem with Houston. You're not going to trade within your division.
I guess so. I mean, yeah, Jackson will take a fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick for him.
Jacksonville would have to be so confident in Lawrence that they...
They are. Lawrence is going to start week one. There's no question.
Well, I know that, but what I'm saying is they would have to be so confident or they would not care to trade it. Minshew to bite them in the ass in the same division. That's what I mean. You're playing.
Yeah, but it's not like if Lawrence got hurt and they have CJ Beathard out there and they have to play Minshew in week 16 to make the playoffs. That's not going to happen, you know?
All I know is you don't want to trade the guy in the same division. For God's sakes, Jerry Jones went as length as to make a phone call to CBS saying, you're going to kick somebody off and you're going to put Romo in the booth. That's what he did. Jerry made that phone call. You just don't want to ever trade in your division. Sometimes you don't want to give that guy up. Because if he turns out to be that diamond, whoo, I mean, ask the Chargers and Drew Brees. Ooh.
Yeah, but that was a different division. And they didn't trade. They didn't trade Brees. They let him go to free agency, and then he chose the Saints instead of the Dolphins. It was even
why
trade.
Do you have to try to ruin my point, man? I was just trying to make a good point.
The funny one was the Pats, and they trade Garoppolo to San Francisco to trade him out of the division. They're like, oh, we can't have Jimmy here, and he's just...
Could have just gone with what I said.
He's just bad.
I mean, Jimmy didn't bite anybody in the ass. They're all happy that Jimmy's gone. Jimmy doesn't play.
Yeah, I can't wait for him to be in the back, be a backup week one. But I think Minshew's the best quarterback available. So I wanted to make a trade right now.
What would you?
He's like Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know.
So okay, if you're the Jags though, second round,
you're not gonna get a second round pick for him.
What are you gonna get for him?
Maybe like I think the most you could get would be like the 150th pick.
What is that? Is that sixth?
Like fourth somewhere there? Maybe I don't think you can get a fourth though. The whole trade thing doesn't make any sense anymore.
I don't even understand the rules. I'm just going with it as if it's like fantasy right now, and that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, well, I mean, my thing about Minshew last year was the Jaguars pulled the plug and tanked, and they like completely got, they tried to get him off the field as much as possible because he could win games so they could try to get Lawrence, you know? They completely sabotaged him.
He's coming back. Yank him. Yank him now.
Yeah, so I don't know. But I think this defense is going to be pretty good. Like, I think it's gonna be like last year. This is probably like the 11th best defense. They have like a lot of edge rushing depth, but nobody is showing anything at all. They drafted Kwity Paye. They drafted Ode Igbo. They also have Ben Benogu, but he's hurt right now. They still have Tycon Lewis. They still have Ture. They still have Al-Quadi Muhammad. None of these guys have ever actually had like a really good year yet, but they're still there. And maybe one of them actually kind of breaks out. But I think it's the one thing they're kind of missing because their interior pass rush is great. They have a good secondary.
Kwity Paye's in a walking boot.
Oh, good. That's good, too.
Let's know that.
Well, never mind then. But, I mean, like that's what they're kind of missing on this defense is a good edge rush. And, like, last year they got some production from Houston, but now he's in Baltimore. I think a lot of it was kind of, you know, empty there, too. And they also... They lost another guy, too. I don't know. They lost somebody else.
Doesn't even matter. This defense is still going to be solid, even though...
I think it's like 12th. This is like the 12th best defense.
Yeah, I'd put that. I would say that. Hopefully you would think that they'd be better, but once
Oh, they lost to Nico Autry. He went to Tennessee. But that's what they're missing. This team's missing a good edge rush.
Yeah, I think they'll be actually just fine. I actually like this defense. I think that they're going to be really solid. In fact, I'd put them 10 to 12.
Yeah, I'd say 12th defense, 24th ranked offense. And I'm praying to God that Carson Wentz is healthy.
If Jonathan Taylor, though, has that type of year, man, then it's a top 15 offense. I'll put it this way.
I guess so.
Then if they are – so if they're 12 on offense, 10 on defense, dude, that's dangerous.
I mean, but even the Titans with Derrick Henry, they didn't have a really good offense until Ryan Tannehill was there. Like, he would still run for 1,400 yards and get 4.7 yards a carry, and it didn't matter until Tannehill was there. They'd still be, like, the 20th best offense.
Yeah, but Tannehill is just so dreamy.
It's all right. We need to call Michael up. So my prediction here is that Carson Wentz sucks again.
All right. That's not even a good prediction. At least go out on a limb. My prediction is that Jonathan Taylor has that breakout season.
I think he kind of broke out already.
No, I'm talking about he's going to have...
Give me a rushing yard total. 1,600 yards? 1,400?
I'm going to say 14.
All right. I would consider 14 like top five running back, you know?
Yeah, I'm saying 14.
All right. So the over-under here is 9. What are you doing?
That's – I'm not going near that in Vegas. I would say with Carson Wentz, I'm going to say he's going to be healthy. I'm going to put this team at the 10-7, 11-6. I'm going to put it at 10-7, so I'm going to take the over.
I'm taking the under, 7-10, and it's a lock. I'm locking it down.
You're just full of it. You just hate this team always. Every year it's this.
I mean, I picked to make the playoffs last year, you know?
Yeah, but you weren't still confident in them.
Yeah, I was like, I think they're going to win 10 games, and they won like 10 games.
Stupid Phillip Rivers. He got to the 50, man.
My butt was clenched for that one.
I was like, come on!
So the next team here, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, God.
So the point I was kind of alluding to earlier about the Jaguars is I don't think this is a 1-15 team last year. I think this is a team that started off 1-4 and they pulled the plug and sabotaged Minshew because they're like, let's go get Lawrence. We're not making the playoffs this year. Let's benching everybody. Everybody's hurt. We have phony injuries now. We're putting guys on IR. We're starring Mike Glennon and his weird neck. We're starring Jake Luton's futon. We're putting out the absolute, you know, crust in the barrel out there. And so the Jaguars had a plexiglass principle of -5 last year. Their turnover differential is -8. They went 1-6 in one score games. Their only win was against the Colts in week one when Minshew went like 19 for 20 for 250 yards. They won 2.7 less games than expected. And yeah, they're still bad, but I think they really kind of sabotaged themselves because there's a lot of good young talent on this team. And now they have that, you know, prodigal son, Trevor Lawrence, the next great generational quarterback prospect playing for them.
Yeah, no, I'm actually going to agree. And it was because I don't remember what game it was, but I think we were actually watching it together, or I may have been watching it with my other friends that I'm much closer with than you. But I think that when it comes to Minshew, there was a game where he was winning it, or he was driving and coming back, and they just immediately pulled him, and they go, hey, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done with this. Like, they were legitimately angry, and he just goes and sits on the bench and is like, whatever. And then I'm pretty sure he pulled out his cigarette and started smoking it with his bandana. But that could have just been something else. I like this team overall, if healthy. The only thing I still don't understand is why would you draft a running back when your team was so bad and yet you had a 1,000-yard running back?
Well, they said he's going to play wide receiver pretty much.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean he's going to – why?
He's going to play like slot wide receiver and catch reverses and end arounds, and he's gonna be like Percy Harvin is what they said.
Oh, good. How well did Percy Harvin work out?
I mean, he got hit in the head too many times, I think.
Yeah, because it doesn't work out. It only works for maybe like one trick play every 5 games. Otherwise, it's just silly. And again, you just could have been able to do something else, especially if you're starting Robinson. I mean, I still like this team now.
Yeah.
This is the real deal. I think this team would be fun to watch.
I like their draft was weird though. Like you mentioned, like NTNA's a weird pick.
Yeah,
Campbell's a weird pick. Like he was supposed to be like you're on the bottom 10 cornerbacks, but he's tall and he's athletic, and who knows how much cover three they play this year, which I'm kind of expecting them to play a good amount of, even though they're running a 3-4. So I'm not exactly sure how that's gonna work out. And they also drafted Walter Little, offensive tackle. He hasn't played football in 2 years, and they drafted him in like, I believe, the second round, which didn't make very much sense either. And then kind of like their later picks, you know, who really cares though? And also, I think like their free agent signings are kind of weird also in a way too. And I think the secondary is probably going to be bad. I like their pass rush some. Like they could make the playoffs this year though. You know, they're just a weird team. Like, this is a really weird team.
I'm not sure if I'm going to go that far with it. And I agree that they are a weird team, but I'm not going to say that unless their offense is just crazy lighting it up, there's just no way when it comes to this defense, because I don't like the secondary at all.
Well, I feel like I don't like Sidney Jones. Griffin's kind of crappy. I like I hate being so stupid.
You like what
I making? Like CJ Henderson a lot. CJ Henderson like one of the best like rookie performances I've ever seen in a, as a cornerback, and then he got kind of bad throughout the year after that. But and he was like, I guess, sat off practice, was upset, but he's back out there practicing again. But yeah, I agree. I don't like their safety play very much either, but I do like I like their linebacker group though. I think Josh Allen and Chase are perfect for a 3-4 defense. I think Miles Jack is going to be really good in 3-4 defense, and they have a good like run stopping defensive line here too. And then they have pass rushers with Roy Robertson, Harris, and Smoot, too, whenever they go on the interior to rush, too. Like, I like this pass rush, but yeah, I agree. I don't like the secondary very much at all.
Which is why teams are just going to be able to throw the ball against them, and pretty much everybody in their division, that's all they're going to be doing. But
that's the thing, though. It's like, not really, though.
What do you mean, not really?
The Colts aren't going to throw the ball a bunch, the Texans aren't going to throw the ball a bunch. The Titans throw the ball like 25 times a game.
The only team that may not be throwing the ball much is going to be the Indianapolis Colts.
And Houston. Houston's going to run the ball 42 times a game.
Now, Houston's just going to be throwing the ball because that's all they're going to be able to do.
No, they're going to run the ball 42 times a game.
No, they're going to split off those four running backs and they're just going to say, go, guys.
They're going to say, each of you get 10. Each of you get 10 carries.
No, there's just no way that the – I just cannot.
I'm telling you, they're going to run the ball 42 times a game.
They're already a bad team. Don't be boring and bad.
Yeah, they're going to be. They're going to be bad and boring.
I don't want this. I don't want to watch your division. See, this is why I don't want to talk about this. Man, I love me some Jaguar offense. But don't you like the Marvin Jones? Because now
it's good.
You have the vet guy for Lawrence.
And he's a good like contested catch guy, you know.
Exactly.
I love LaViska. LaViska is awesome. I love Chark. Colin Johnson's okay. They don't have a tight end. The Jaguars haven't had a tight end since Mercedes Lewis. Their tight ends this year are James O'Shaughnessy again, Chris Manhurts. They haven't had a good tight end since Mercedes Lewis. Remember they signed Thomas from the Broncos? And they gave him like $12 million a year and he caught 2 touchdowns and retired after 2 seasons.
That was so awesome. Everybody picked him up in like the 4th round in fantasy. He was going to be the greatest. Yeah, I was one of those guys, and he ended up being awful.
Yeah. Well, and also the Jaguars since 2017, when they went 10-6. They've gone 12-36 since then. And if I need to remind you, this is kind of similar to the Colts when they drafted Andrew Luck too, because they drafted him. They were 1-15. They had to gut the entire roster. You kind of saw how much Peyton Manning carried that team. They drafted Luck, and they got really lucky that year. I think they were like 8-3 in one-score games. They had a tournament differential of like plus 15. Luck should have thrown. He threw like 12 interceptions that were dropped. And then remember Pagano got cancer, and Bruce Arians took over as head coach, and like Andrew Luck would hold on to the ball to the very last second and throw up 40 yards and get hit, like get his jaw broken every time. And, like, I think the Jaguars could make the playoffs this year if they're really fortunate. Like, I think if they go, like, 6-3 in one-score games and they have a high turnover differential, there's enough young talent on this team where they could possibly make the playoffs.
Hey, man, what was the record? I can't remember. What record did you have to make the playoffs in the AFC last year?
I think you had to win 10 games.
No, 10-win teams were actually not able to go in, some of them.
And no, the Colts won 10 games last year and they made the playoffs.
Well, I know, but I think that was some type of tiebreaker, I thought.
Yeah, they had a tiebreaker. Oh, the Colts won 11 games last year.
Oh, yeah! See, the 10-win teams were not able to go because the AFC is so freaking dominant, and that's my point. Matt, you're out of your mind.
I'm not picking to make the playoffs. I want to. I'm just saying that the door is open. I think it could happen.
Why don't you do it?
I'm just saying I think it could happen.
Yeah, I think you should do it. You're talking about it.
Yeah, I want to do it, but I'm not going to do it.
Why not make that your big prediction?
Because their secondary is bad, and I have concerns about their offensive line. And also, I don't know like what this Urban Meyer thing is going to be like either. Are you excited for Urban Meyer?
Tebow's already cut. I can't believe that we're doing this after.
I don't want to talk about Tebow.
Well, I don't want to talk about him either. I'm just saying that he was cut, which is why you probably want to do the show today.
No, I don't want to talk about Tebow.
What did he do to you? What did
nothing? I mean, he was there for to like motivate players, him to work hard in practice. That's why he was there. And he's like friends of Urban Meyer.
Well, I was gonna say then. So you not believe in Urban Meyer? Do you think that says something about Urban Meyer?
No, I mean it makes sense why they did it. But I was asking you, do you think Urban Meyer is a football coach or a meme?
I don't know.
Because there hasn't been a college coach who's done well in the NFL except for Jim Harbaugh, and he had 3 good years before he got outcasted, you know?
Well, it's like what you and I talked about, though, with the draft and everything. It kind of didn't make any sense. So that's why when it comes to this, I really do want to wait and see. But with their draft, it kind of goes back to they should have been able to pick the better options for their team to be able to make them actually more of a contender. Where Meyer, I'm not sure what he did. Now, if it ended up working, and to your point, if they win 9 games, that is really successful in my book. I just don't see it, and right now I'm not believing in him, so I'm going to consider him a gimmick or a meme.
Yeah, I just they're weird. The city of Jacksonville's weird. The Jaguars are a weird football team. Their owner's weird. Their draft was weird. Whoa. Their uniforms are weird.
Their pool is weird.
The pool's sick, actually. I would love to take a piss in that pool.
Okay,
just
we
sit
have
in there and just piss for 3 hours.
We have to do that.
I wonder how much it costs.
I think we've looked it up. I'm pretty sure it's a few thousand. Ugh. And I think it's around like 5 to 7.
I can't do that. Oh, you have to rent it out.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Why?
I would, no.
6 million listeners are going to donate in order for us to go to this pool. So then we can do a live show there.
All right. Maybe in 2042, whenever I retire, we can do that.
That works.
2049.
I'll sell all my comic books for it.
That sounds good.
All right.
But yeah, so it's a weird team. Urban Meyer is weird. Daryl Bevel being the offensive coordinator is weird. Joe Cullen being the defensive coordinator is weird as well too. He was the guy who was drunk and got fired because he drove through a Wendy's drive-through naked. He's the defensive coordinator. It's strange. This whole team is strange, and also Trevor Lawrence being this prestigious, you know, quarterback god ending up in Jacksonville, I think is also really hilarious too, and it is also strange as well. Like I think this whole Jacksonville season is very bizarre. I think they're the weirdest team in the NFL.
Which is why, do you want me to reveal my big prediction here?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Man, I think they win at most 6 games. At most 6 games. I think this team truly goes 6-10.
All right. Hold
on, let me do another big prediction here.
Well, it's supposed to be like your little cute prediction, you know, not necessarily a win-loss prediction.
That's what I mean. Let me go backwards here.
Okay.
So my other one. That Gardner Minshew is not traded this year.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense, you know.
No, it doesn't. They're just going to hold on to him because, again, I think they're going to try to be asking for a second or third.
That's not going to happen.
That's what I think they're going to be asking for. I'm not saying that's what I mean. It's not going to happen, but that's what I think they're going to be asking.
Yeah, well, they're mentally ill then.
Yeah.
And they are mentally ill.
They are.
Let's make this clear. My key prediction is that Trevor Lawrence has a higher DVOA than Andrew Luck had his rookie year.
What?
Yeah.
What did Andrew Luck have?
Like 3% or something like that.
I think you're crazy.
And also, I was going to try to go with him throwing more touchdown passes than Herbert, but Herbert was so good last year.
Why would you ever insult him like that, man?
My only concern about Lawrence this year in the Jaguars offense is their offensive tackle play. Like Cam Robinson gave up 8 sacks last year. Ooh. He's had a lot of problems in pass protection. Like Juwan Taylor.
They got man hurts protecting now.
That's a tight end.
Yeah, I know. They're going to put him at, they don't have a tight end. It's going to be, I'm pretty sure
they're never going to. And then Juwan Taylor hasn't been able to match his hands and feet all that well. Like, I think Taylor could be a really good right tackle. I'm not buying Cam Robinson's ever going to be. But that's my one concern for Lawrence this year is the tackle play.
Yeah, and Norwell, is he already hurt too?
No, he's never. I can't believe they didn't cut him. They restructured his contract for like $8 million this year, but he's been one of the worst free agent signings I've ever seen. So the over-under here is 6.5. I'm taking the over. I'm going 8 wins. I think they're better than the Colts this year. I'm going 8-9. They also are the youngest team in the NFL, and they have the second easiest schedule this year too. I'm going 8-9. And I think there's a chance they can make the playoffs. That's great.
Okay, no. You're 8-9 and chance to make the playoffs, Matt?
Yeah.
You have to win 12 games in the AFC.
Maybe not this year.
What?
Maybe they go 7-1 in one score games.
All right. Either way, I already gave you my prediction. I just switched mine. I thought I put the Q. All right, it was my fault. I just got them switched. But yeah, I'm saying it's the under. 6-10.
Yo, you're saying the under.
Yeah, I'm taking the under. 6-10.
All right. I'm yeah. All right.
Yeah, you're crazy.
I always fall for Jacksonville every year.
Yeah, I know you do. Which is why.
Well, last year I was like, they're not bad enough to be a bottom team. They're not going to be able to bottom out at all, and they sabotage themselves to make it happen. And the year before that, I picked them in the division. They won like 4 games, so who cares? The next team here, the Tennessee Titans. Are you ready to tie it up, Daddy? You ready to tie it up? So the Tennessee Titans, last time we saw them, Taylor Lewan was hurt, and they could not run block at all against the Baltimore Ravens. Ryan Tannehill threw a late-game interception to Marcus Peters that iced it. Mike Vrabel had one of the most coward punts or one of the most coward field goals you'll ever see as well, too. And the Titans, you know, were sent back home with their tail between their legs after they made 3 straight postseason trips. Last year, they won the division. The year before that, they came in as a wild card team. This year, they're a repeating division champ, added a lot of star talent this year. They had Bud Dupree, Danico Autry, and the one and only Julio Jones. And combined with that, they also had Janoris Jenkins, Matthias Farley, Kevin Johnson, Josh Reynolds, and Kendall Lamb. So really what the Titans did this year was they took their depth and they said, we don't need depth. We'll just get UDFI guys. We'll get late-round draft picks to kind of fill the holes. We're going to get star talent and add some cornerstone players. And they did that with Dupree, Julio Jones, Jenkins, who I think is like just pretty good. He's not necessarily a star. And Autry, who, again, I guess like pretty good, not a star. But they had like supreme, like really good talent. It wasn't like filling a bunch of holes across the board. It was turning, you know, 13 players into one singular player. Did you like their offseason this year?
Yeah, I love their offseason this year. The only thing that I'm just nervous about is because, and not to jump if you're going to talk about it, but I don't care, is them losing their offensive coach. But other than that, I mean, I really do like their offseason this year, and I think that they are taking the next steps forward to be able to compete in the AFC, which is why, once again, I mean, this is still, in my opinion, the top 4, top 5, top 3, whoever you want to put it. I think this is going to be a badass team to watch this year.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be a lot of fun.
And they don't even need a tight end, which is why it's so much fun, because with
Ferkser's pretty good.
Come on.
I like Ferkser. Ferkser's not no man hurts.
It's, come on. With Henry Brown Jones, that's all you need in life, man. That's it. Because what are you going to do?
All right, so who's the best tight end in this division? You got Ferkser, you got Jeff Swaim in Tennessee. The Jaguars have O'Shaughnessy and Manhurts. The Colts have Mo Alie-Cox and Jack Doyle. The Texans have Jordan Akins, Kahale Waring, Farrell Brown, and Brevin Jordan. Who's the best tight end in this division?
So, wait, you named like a lot. So, best single or best duos?
No, best single tight end. I named all the tight ends in the division.
I'm going to say Cox. And that's not even because...
I think Doyle's better than Cox, though.
Well, no, Doyle's just old man where he's just like a Jason Witten type where he's just going to run and he's just going to be able to catch it.
He's pretty sneaky.
Well, exactly. He's the Jason Witten of that team, which is why it's fun. But I think Cox is always going to be that touchdown player, which is why I would put him above anybody else in this division.
I would go Doyle. Doyle. Yeah, I think you're underrating Anthony Ferkser right now. And I don't like it.
What do you mean I'm underrating him? There's no underrating. The Tennessee Titans are going to use him in the end zone every now and then. He's going to have 3 touchdowns in 3 back-to-back games, like one in each game, and then everyone's going to pick him up in fantasy, and then he's not going to do anything.
You know how many touchdowns Cox had last year? Three.
Six?
Three.
It was six.
He never catches a bunch of touchdowns. He catches like two or three a year.
Hey, I'm telling you what he's going to do this year.
Doyle's the one who had six that one season. It's Simon Cox.
Well, you know what? You asked me a question, and I answered it, okay?
I think, well, so one of the strange things about the Titans this season, it's a projection system. So last year, their defensive DVOA, they came out, I believe, at 30th or 29th. This year, Football Outsiders have them projected as having the worst defense in football. And so I'm going to go through their defense real fast, and let me know if you think this is the worst defense in football. So their outside linebackers, Bud Dupree and Harold Landry. Their inside linebackers, Rashawn Evans and J.M. Brown. Their defensive line is Jeffrey Simmons, Tahir Tart, Denico Autry. Their cornerbacks are Christian Fulton, Janoris Jenkins, Caleb Farley, Brian Boddy Calhoun. Their safeties are Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker. This is not the worst defense in football.
No, I'm not going to say it's the worst, but I don't really like it. I'm not saying there's just not a standout.
Kevin Byard is a top three safety. I think Jeffrey Simmons is going to make a breakout this year, where he's like, give me a fringe all pro sort of player. Bud Dupree is what they signed Jadeveon Clowney to do, and I think he'll be able to provide that same sort of like run stopping tenacity here. And like Landry gets a lot of hurries, but he doesn't get a lot of interceptions. I don't think Janoris Jenkins is very good. I think he's fine, but I think there's a big difference between, you know, Janoris Jenkins and, I don't know, man, they started some bad cornerbacks last year. he's better than
you're hoping Simmons is going to have a breakout. You got me with Byard, fine. But there's nobody that's going to be able to put any type of pressure on any quarterback.
All right, Breon Borders. He's a lot better than Breon Borders. He's better than, you know, Malcolm Butler.
No, Malcolm Butler is just fine.
Yeah, I'm saying Janoris Jenkins is better than Butler is. And I love Christian Fulton. I think he had great tape at LSU. He was hurt last year. Caleb Farley is like, has the body to be a great cornerback, but he was hurt coming into the draft and slid to them as well too. Like, I think this could be a mediocre defense. Like, I'm not buying this fact that they're going to be an awful defense. The other strange thing about it too is their defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen. Titans fans absolutely hate Shane Bowen. They think he's the Antichrist. Yeah, they absolutely can't stand him.
Why?
I don't know. I guess he's bad at it. I don't know the intricacies of Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen coaching this defense last year, but they were bad last year.
But that's where it was. Hold on. I think I'm talking about 2 years ago. Either way, the problem with the Titans defense is the fact where they just aren't able to put any type. And this is where I'm going to just say this guy's name. You're not going to be able to put any type of pressure on Patrick Mahomes. And that's what it all comes down to. With this defense, they're just not going to be able.
I think they have a little bit front four pressure.
They couldn't, man.
All right, Harold Landry, Jeffrey Simmons, Bud Dupree, Denico Autry.
What? It's
pretty good.
It's not going to be able to against their offense.
Yeah, it's not going to suffocate them. But yeah, they would have to score. They would have to get like, when, to beat Kansas City, Tennessee would have to win the turnover battle, and Derrick Henry would have to run for 225 yards.
Maybe, but now.
And even then, that may not pull it off, but they would have to at least do that, you know?
Man, I think you'd have to do even more than that.
I think it would have to start at that, you know? I think this pass rush is pretty good. I like it. I like their secondary. I like Evans and Brown. I know they had down years last year. I'm anticipating for them to bounce back too. But yeah, I think this defense is mediocre at least, you know?
I would give them mediocre. I would say that they're going to be better than the Dallas defense last year. So yeah, I'm going to say that they're going to be a mediocre defense overall. But I'm not saying, I'll put it this way, this is like top 25.
That's not mediocre.
I put it...
like top 16 is mediocre.
I'm not putting top 16.
Is this the 20th best defense?
Yeah.
See, that's pretty bad.
That's 18?
That's mediocre.
See, 18. I was going to say 18.
Yeah, I would say like 14 to 18 is mediocre.
Okay, see, 18. I'm not going to say top. I can't. No.
I think this would be like the 14th best defense.
Whatever. You're full of it. And by the way, also, Do they have a kicker?
Yeah, they have Nogostowski. They're having like three. They're having a kickoff this year. They have like three UDFA kickers.
That's good. I think that's going to work really well for them.
I hope so. So offensively, if you're playing NFL Street or NBA Jam with two wide receivers, do you think that, would you pick the tight ends? Do they have the best wide receiver duo in football? Do they have your favorite wide receiver duo in football?
It truly comes down to that if Julio is going to be healthy. But if Julio is healthy, then yes, this is easily going to be the best duo on planet Earth to be able to watch. Because, well, I mean, I would compare it because I think Julio is going to be moving that slow. Is going to be over in Kansas City, where you have the Tyreek Hill, where you have the A.J. Brown. I know a different player, A.J. Brown, I love. But when it comes to Julio moving like their tight end down in Kansas City, I feel like it's very similar to that type of aspect where it's just going to be going back and forth between the two. But where the difference is going to be able to lie is the Derrick Henry. But this is easily the best duo in the NFL.
Yeah, it's my favorite duo also. Like, I love A.J. Brown. And I love how much A.J. Brown loves Julio Jones, you know?
Exactly, and this is because you know that A.J. just grew up watching Julio and it was one of his favorite players growing up, being able to see. He probably idolizes game. They really look alike as far as body type goes, where I think that's why A.J. probably loves Julio so much. And again, if Julio is healthy, that's just scary. Because you're probably just going to be paying attention to them, and then all of a sudden Josh Reynolds is going to make a catch.
Yeah, he's all right. Like, he's a good third wide receiver.
That's what my point is, that you're not even going to be looking at him. And all of a sudden, he's just going to come down with the touchdown and be like, what the hell?
Well, I think there's Lesser Firkser comes into play. I think there's a couple of questions about this offense, though. One is Derrick Henry's workload. Can he handle 270 carries again this year? Two, how healthy is Julio Jones? Three, as you alluded to earlier, what do they do with Arthur Smith not being here as the offensive coordinator? Replacing him is Todd Downing, who was the offense coordinator once for the 2017 Raiders. And the Raiders won like six games that year. He was fired, and John Gruden came in the year afterwards. And the other thing is, what can like Ryan Tannehill keep playing at that same level, especially as a play-action passer? And those are four big questions. So let's do rapid fire here. Can Derrick Henry handle 270 carries again?
Yes, he's still pulling trucks in the offseason.
All right. Is Julio Jones going to be healthy? Do you think he starts 14 games?
No.
How much are the Titans going to miss Arthur Smith? Do they think they have a big drop-off in play calling that significantly affects this offense?
Yes.
And then do you think Ryan Tannehill can keep being a really great play-action passer?
He would if he had the coach that he wants.
All right. I wish Arthur Smith stayed for one more year. It's really upsetting.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I want the Tennessee Titans to be so good, because I love this offense. Just to your point, this is the NFL Street. But that was such a big deal because now you're
He's a god. He's a play-action god.
Yeah, and you knew how to be able to control the other teams. It's a scary thing because I don't want the Tennessee Titans to drop off, but I think we're going to have a drop off this season.
I wish we could watch Arthur Smith coach a Titans offense with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown.
Exactly.
It sucks. He was so good, Corey Davis, last
year. Did somebody tell him that before he took the head coach job? Somebody should have mentioned, hey, we're really going to go after Julio. You sure?
Well, he signed in Atlanta, and Atlanta traded him, you know, Tennessee after the fact, so.
Oh, my God. That was probably in the deal. It was easily a draft day situation. Okay, you're going to send
You
him
can
over.
Have Arthur, but you're sending us Julio.
But you're sending us Julio. You know that's what happened.
I'm going to say something here that's going to make you mad.
No.
My favorite offensive rookie to watch this year is going to be Rodens, who's the rookie right tackle the Titans draft in the second round this year. I cannot wait to watch Rodens in this mid-zone offense. He's from North Dakota State. He's going to replace... Well, they had a problem last year. They had Dennis Kelly start right tackle. He was pretty good. I'm surprised he didn't get a bigger contract. He ended up just signing with Green Bay at the end of the year. But whenever Taylor Luan got hurt, that's when their run game really kind of fell apart. Not necessarily fell apart, but got really bad, especially in that Ravens game against a good front seven. But I do think Dylan Randons is my favorite offensive rookie to watch this season. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's not even close to what I was going to say. Matthew, you know why? Because hold on. I just got to do this real quick here because I always forget names, but I cannot forget this name. All right, hold on. Who is down in the Falcons here?
Who is down in the Falcons?
Yeah, who's the rookie on the Falcons?
Pitts.
Oh, Pitts.
Yeah.
You're out of your damn mind. That's what I mean. See, I blank on names, and I had to get this one right. Are you freaking kidding me?
I cannot wait to watch Raddins.
You're not even an Atlanta fan, and I hate them, and you're saying that you would rather watch this guy instead of Kyle Pitts.
I can't wait.
Man. Are we doing this?
Yeah, we're not doing this.
You're not believing what you're saying right now. Mm-hmm. I know you're going to take this back because I'm going to write this down and then I'm going to bring this up whenever we're talking about Atlanta. And then I'm just going to say, see, I told you so.
Yeah, you're going to be like, you see that catch, Pitts? Maybe like, did you see these 7 great blocks Raddins made?
Oh, my God. We're not going to talk about this. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not doing this.
Are you excited for Dylan Raddins' watch all year long?
Nope, I'm not doing time. I don't want to watch those highlight tapes. If you ever send me a
highlight, nope. I cannot wait. Man, I'm really excited for this year now. Also, I'm bringing up too, the Ravens-Titans rivalry is my favorite rivalry in football right now.
I would say so, and that's only because with even Lamar talking the smack after the game, you know that's going to be able to eat it up even more. So yeah, I'm going to agree.
It's like the only two teams that actually really hate each other.
Exactly, and it's building too.
Yeah.
It's not stopping down. It's just continuing more and more. I think the only other one that you would probably have that's going to be continuously building would be the Kansas City and Tampa.
Yeah, but they're in different conferences. They play each other once this year, but they're different conferences.
That's what I mean, though. They're going to play each other, though, again.
Well, the real rivalry is going to be the Broncos and the Chiefs this year.
Oh, my God. See, why do you do this? You were at one point with whenever you said the Tennessee and Baltimore, we were on the same page. And then this is what, Denver? Why are we doing this?
They're going to be good. You see Drew Locke's preseason game, 3 of 4, 105 yards. Because he threw a 4-yard pass that turned to a giant touchdown.
That's what you love, too. You're like, see, look how great that is.
No, not at all. So my little prediction here is that Derrick Henry is going to miss a couple games this year.
Because of rest?
No, because he's finally going to get hurt.
No, it's going to be because of
rest. I think he has one more like monster year in him, but I think he's going to miss like 2 or 3 games.
I agree with you on the one more monster year. But it's for sure this year because he's going to give his body for Julio being on the team.
The one thing I didn't know, and I learned this last year whenever I did that AFC South preview, was the guy, Justin Graver, who covers the Titans. I spoke to him about Derrick Henry and the same question. He's like, well, one of the things that a lot of people don't know about is Henry didn't really have a high workload until like 3 years ago with Tennessee. Like even Alabama, he didn't have a high workload. He shared carries with D'Amico Murray for his first two years here. And so like, he's only had 3 really high usage seasons. And so he thought that he can keep doing this for, you know, a long time to come. But that's also like a very optimistic Titans fan, you know.
No, okay. Yeah.
Titans analysis, I should say.
I was going to say.
I think
yeah.
Fan belittles the work that he does.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would say that you are. I don't even know who you're a fan of these days. You just make me sick on whoever you talk about. It's always the worst. Just like we're talking about who you're going to pay attention this year.
Dylan Raddins, baby.
No, I'm not even doing this. So when it comes to this team, I'm going to say for my little nice prediction is that Derrick Henry does not slow down, and it's at least another 1,500 yards.
All right. And thanks to Dylan Raddins. Running behind Dylan Raddins this year.
You know what? Yes. Fine. If you send me... Don't send me. No, I don't want you. You send me a highlight, I swear to God.
I really like the tight ends. I like the fact that they go for it every year. They try and prove every year. I don't know. I just really like this team. I'm excited for the Titans again.
I hate losing that offense, man.
I wish Arthur Smith was still here.
Yeah.
If Arthur Smith was still here, I'd say this is a Super Bowl contending sort of team. But
I'd
since
agree.
He isn't here, I think they're just going to win the division. They're going to be a playoff team. and they'll probably get bounced either the wild card round or the divisional round. So the over under for the Titans is 9 wins. I'm taking the over. I'm going 10-7.
Man, really? I thought they were going to make it hard on us and put it at 10 wins. But yeah, I'm going to take the over, but I'm going to say a little bit different. I'm going to say 11-6.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think, again, like they win 7-2 one-score games. Their turnover differential is plus 11. They play a fairly easy schedule. Like, everything that is kind of like, everything is saying that they're going to be worse this year. But the Titans are kind of bizarre, funky team. They keep pulling off. And the other thing, too, is I just think their defense is going to be the 32nd ranked defense. And then they're going to be like 16th, you know?
Yeah, and I'll put it, if their defense is in the top 15, which I still don't think it's going to be, but if it is, then this will be a damn good team.
Yeah.
I think it'd be incredibly dangerous if their defense is able to pull that off, because that means that they're at least making plays in the backfield. I just don't see it, which is why I think this team is going to take a step back. Because even the 11-6 is a step back for me.
I think it's mainly because I think I like Simmons. I just like Simmons a whole lot. I like Dupree a whole lot. Like, I think those are two really just like dominating defensive players. And Dupree was incredible last year until he tore his ACL. So he should be fun to watch there too. But I mean, what really kind of swung for the Titans to me was learning more about the Colts and think more about the Colts. I was like, they're going to be bad. And so then the Titans are like the clear, you know, favor in the division.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would say so. And that's just because with the quarterback play in Indy, there's no way you're able to trust it. And the Jags, we don't know what the hell they're going to be with Urban Meyer. So I'm going to, no matter what, I'm going to agree, because the Tennessee Titans, you're expecting them to be at least a top five team in the AFC.
Yeah. I put them like, I think it was Kansas City.
Put them at 4 or 5.
Yeah. And I think it goes Buffalo, Baltimore, wait, Los Angeles, Cleveland.
No,
and then the
no,
Titans below that.
No, no, you put Cleveland at number 3. What are you talking about?
I have put the Chargers over Cleveland.
Okay, what are you doing right now? Stop it. We were on a good note. We were about to...
Because they can throw the ball. I don't like Baker very much, though.
Oh, my God. What is the
matter? I would rather have Minshew in Cleveland than Baker in Cleveland.
This is disgusting. I am so done with you.
So, to recap, the Texans 4-win. I have the under at 3-14. You have the over at 5-12. Somebody's a little optimistic here. The Colts at 9 wins. I have the under at 7-10. You have the over at 10-7. The Jaguars at 6.5 wins. I have the over at 8-9. You have the under at 6-10. And the Titans at 9 wins. I have the over at 10 wins. And you have the over at 11 wins.
Yeah, I do.
I love this division. It's always so stupid.
I'm not watching this division at all.
It's always so stupid.
Not doing it. I'm busy those days.
So do you have any closing thoughts at all?
I don't have any closing thought on this division. I just don't want to ever watch it. But, man, we're going to have to watch a Texans game together just so I can go through that madness with you. Because you're going to have some company if that's the only team you can watch.
Yeah, you come over and watch with my bastard baby.
I will. Just buy you know what? Buy like a 75-inch TV. Tell the wife, us and the baby need it, and this is going to heal your – it's going to heal your pain. And it's because you're going to feel like that you're actually inside of the game, the game. So it's going to make you feel better.
Yeah. Well, that Costco had an 86-inch television for sale for $1,500. I'm like, let's get it.
Oh, my God.
You know how many times I'd watch it? Probably twice.
No, not when it comes to football. You would always
I only watch the Texans. I watch the rest on my computer.
Yeah, I know. But you would watch the Texans on that, which is why.
Yeah, I guess I've watched 18 Texans games, whatever it is.
There you go. It's worth it.
Well, you go make a drink. We're done with the AFC South, and we're going to do my least favorite division, the NFC East. So until next time, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you. We're listening to Battle Red Radio. And thank you for being on this afternoon, Taylor.
Oh, my God. What did you say? Chargers better than Cleveland? Oh, my God.
That sounded good to me. I thought it was pretty good.